You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right. Hey, did you bring your Bible to church today? You got one on your phone at least? Come on, if you don't, New Year's. Come on, baby. I don't know why I say baby sometimes. It just happens. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And then James. We're gonna look at James later. It's in your New Testament. James chapter 4. All right. So we are continuing our series that we started last week called Presence. And last week I shared that just a few days before this new year began, I heard God speak to me about what he's going to do in 2019. So listen to me. I heard God say a prophetic word. Okay. Now that means he revealed what he's up to in our lives right now. Okay, and so if you were here, you'll remember that I heard God speak to me in a dream, and what he said sounded a little funny at first, okay? But I shared it with you last week, so this is what I heard the Lord say. I heard the Lord so clearly say, Brandon, I'm going to pour out such a cloud. And no, I had not been hitting the hard eggnog before I went to sleep that night. Okay, look, I know it sounds a little funny, but we saw last week that above all, clouds in the Bible represent God's presence with his people. In fact, from a spiritual and even a literal perspective, we often see that the presence and the power and the covering and the authority and the blessings and the goodness and even the witness of who God is often manifests itself or shows up in the form of a cloud. And so here's what I'm convinced of, okay? God said such a cloud, not just a little cloud, not just an average cloud, but something exceptional. I believe God wants to pour out his presence into the life of our church in new and exceeding and even surprising ways, which really means this, okay? Are you the church? Come on, if the church is us, it's you and me. If you say you love Jesus, if you say I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, then you are the church. I really believe Jesus wants to pour his presence out in new and exceeding and surprising ways into your life. That's his plan, okay? And so listen to me though, I'm gonna make a statement and I'm gonna come back to this statement a couple more times in this message, but I want you to get it right now, okay? So listen to me, prophetic words are oftentimes invitations from God. Okay, listen to me. Prophetic words are oftentimes invitations from God. Okay, listen, I heard God say he's going to pour out such a cloud. He wants to. In fact, he's got a plan to do so, to pour out more of himself into your life. However, that doesn't automatically mean it's going to happen for you. Okay, follow me. God will not force himself into your life. He will not force his blessings upon you, but he will do this. Here's what he's doing. He will give you an invitation to allow him to do so. And that's what he's doing right now. He's inviting you and me, but we still have a choice as to whether or not we will accept. Okay, here's your choice. You can say, yes, Lord. And then you can mean it by following up and beginning to make room for more of his presence in your life, or you can say no and miss out. Okay, and honestly, you don't even have to say no. You can just go on with life as usual, just business as usual. Don't change a thing. Don't adjust a thing. Listen to me. Don't be intentional, and you will miss out on making more room for the presence of God in your life. Others around you may experience his presence and the blessings and the goodness that comes with him, but you will miss out. Are you with me? Listen, prophetic words are oftentimes invitations from God. Now, how many of you don't wanna miss out on the presence of God in your life? Come on, right? Okay, so today I want to explain much more about the presence of God and how we can experience him. And then very specifically, I want to talk to us about how we can enter in and make room for more of what God wants to do, for the presence he wants to pour out in our lives, all right? And so I'm just going to give you a heads up. Many of you know, one of my favorite pastors on the planet is Pastor Robert Morris, and he has an incredible teaching on the presence of God. Okay, and so he points out something we all need to understand. When it comes to the presence of God, there's the omnipresence of God, There's the inner presence of God, and then there's what we call the manifest presence of God, okay? So I'm gonna explain those, okay? But the omnipresence of God means that God is everywhere, right? The inner presence of God is that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. Jesus told his disciples, I've been with you, but I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit and he will live in you, okay? But watch this, the manifest presence is what we would refer to as the made known presence of God. It's when you begin to sense his presence among us. It's that presence where Jesus is in the room. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so I'm gonna explain more of that in just a minute. But real quick, here's a verse showing the omnipresence of God. This is Psalm 139:7. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Or watch this, where can I flee from your presence? In other words, God's everywhere, right? But I really wanna focus in on the manifest presence of God today, that made known, that realized presence, that understanding that you are in the room with Jesus. And here's the question, can you live your life every day in that presence? Is that possible? Okay, so listen, I wanna explain this more. Here's what I mean. Have you ever felt or sensed the presence of God with us on a Sunday morning as we've been worshiping together? Anybody? Isn't it amazing? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Can you live in that presence? He makes his presence known among us. We can sense that he is in the room. I'll never forget when we launched the church at Norm's Coffee Bar, which is now the original Norm's Coffee Bar. It's now Back Alley Pizza. We launched there, and my cousin Aaron Pryor and her husband Tave, they showed up on launch Sunday, and they'd sit right at the front table. Just right in front of where I'd preach. And for like the first 3 or 4 weeks after launch, every once in a while, I'd look in Aaron's direction and I would just see tears just streaming down her face. And I thought to myself, either this is the most amazing preaching ever, or I'm doing something really bad right now. We all know it was amazing though, don't we? No, okay, so. No, I went and asked her after a few weeks, I said, hey, is everything okay? And she said, yeah. She said, it's just that I've never felt the presence of God like this before. I didn't know this was possible. But she was experiencing it. How beautiful is that? Listen, she was experiencing the manifest presence of God. God was just telling her, Aaron, I'm in the room right here. I'm right here with you. Come on. So is that just for Sunday mornings? Or can we experience his presence like that every day of our lives? I believe you and I can. Okay, so how do we do that? I've got 3 points for us this morning. Here's my first point. I want to get into this. Let's talk about his manifest presence. Number one, his manifest presence, okay? When God created mankind, when he first created Adam and Eve, he started out with Adam and Eve. That's how this whole thing began, church. We started out with God, in the presence of God. But again, think about this. What did we lose when Adam and Eve sinned? And what do you think it was that Jesus came back to restore? Okay, so watch this. If you got your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 3, I'm gonna read verse 8. I'm just gonna give you a heads up. I'm gonna read a few verses today out of the New King James, okay, the NKJV. All right, I love the way it says this in a couple verses, okay? So listen, Genesis 3, verse 8, this is right after Adam and Eve sinned. And let's see what happens. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And watch, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Okay, listen to me. Sin will always try to cause you and me to hide from the presence of God. Watch this, even in worship services. You blow it, let's say you blew it this past week, you show up at church, trust me, shame is always right there to meet you and try to convince you, or Satan will try to convince you, you don't have any right to worship today. That would make you a hypocrite. Or besides, what, you think God wants to be close to you today after the week you've had? Now listen to me, when you mess it up, you really need to enter into the presence of God. And I'm telling you, I'll say it again, you can do so boldly because of the blood of Jesus. Okay, but it says they hid themselves from the presence of God. Okay, so that means this can't be talking about the omnipresence of God. It can't be talking about this. Because if God is everywhere, which he is, then how can you hide from his presence? So church, they were hiding from his manifest, from his made known presence. Let me show this to you in another scripture. I'm going to read from Exodus 33, 14 and 15. Okay, God is talking to Moses about how he is personally going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, okay? If you remember last week, he's going to do it in the form of a cloud. But watch what he says to Moses. He says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he, this is Moses, said to him, if your presence does not go with us, in other words, if you don't personally go with us, then do not bring us up from here. Okay, so how could God say my presence will go with you when his presence is everywhere? Okay, it's because he's not talking about his omnipresence. He's talking about his manifest presence, his very personal presence. He's saying, I'm going to be with you in real time, every day, just like I was with Adam and Eve before they sinned, in real time, every day. So let me just give you a real world example, okay, to kind of help drive this home. Let's do this just for a minute. All the adults in the room, let's just take a moment, and what if we pretend that we're little kids again? Okay, just pretend you're a little kid and then do this with me, all right? I want you to imagine the perfect dad. Okay, just the most perfect dad, whatever that would look like, okay? He says all the right things. He does all the right things. I'm honestly not trying to bring up any bad memories from your childhood. I'm just inviting you, come on. Just imagine you're a little kid and just imagine the perfect dad. And so let's say you're at home one day and you're with your family and then perfect dad comes home. And let's say he goes to his bedroom then to change out of his work clothes, okay? Listen to me. At that point, he's present, isn't he? At that point, he's there, right? Okay, but what if he then comes out of his bedroom and he comes up to you and he picks you up? He holds you up in the air and he starts to swing you around and he squeezes you and you're just laughing and you love it and he pulls you close into his arms and he looks at you, he says, I love you so much. And maybe if you're a little dude, he starts wrestling with you. Maybe if you're a little girl, he says, let's go have a tea party and it just makes your day. By the way, at the Eck house, the Eck boys, we never played tea party. We played barbecue. Okay, here's what I'm saying though, all right? As soon as your dad starts to interact with you, as soon as he lifts you up and hugs you and starts to play with you and talks with you, listen, that's when your dad is then making his presence known. Are you seeing this? Come on, that's when he's revealing it to you. Understand the difference? It's one thing to be in a house with someone or even in a room with someone. It's another thing to have that person then give you the kind of attention and affection and love that only that person can give you. You with me? Okay, listen, we can come to church or you can come to church or listen, when you get up in the morning to read your Bible, to pray, God wants to manifest his presence to you. He wants to be with you. He wants to wrap you in his arms. He wants to speak kindly to you. He wants you to look him in the eye and he wants to be able to tell you how much he loves you. He wants to do that with you each and every day. He wants to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. All right, so I've got two more points this morning, okay? One of them is about how we do enter into and make room for the presence of God. The other one, though, is about how we can actually leave the presence of God. I want to start with how we leave the presence of God, okay? So here's point number two, leaving his presence. Leaving his presence. Is it possible to leave the presence of God? Okay, well, it's not possible to leave his omnipresence, but it's absolutely possible to leave his manifest presence. Okay, think about how Adam and Eve hid themselves from God in the garden. Okay, that was Genesis chapter 3. If you still have your Bibles there, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 4. You can just flip over a page or two, and we're going to look at the story of Cain and Abel. So Cain was jealous of his brother Abel. His brother Abel had brought an offering to God and God accepted it. However, Cain had brought an offering to God and God did not accept it. And so there was jealousy, there was sin in Cain's heart. But listen to me, God told Cain, he said, you got to deal with your attitude. You've got to deal with this jealousy. You cannot let this sin control you. Cain did not listen, and he then went and murdered his brother. And watch what it says, Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. It says, so Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Again, how can you go out from the presence of God if he's everywhere? You can't go out from his omnipresence, but you can absolutely go out from his manifest presence. Let me just show you one more scripture about this, okay? I'm going to read from Jonah. It's going to be up on the screen. Jonah 1, verses 1 through 5. Watch this. It says, now the word of the Lord God came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, watch this, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Church, this is in your Bible. Okay, he's fleeing from the presence of God. He's not fleeing from the omnipresence of God. He's fleeing from the manifest presence of God. Okay, so here's the question then. How do you leave the presence of God? How do you do that? Okay, you ready? It's really simple. You just don't do what God told you to do. Think about it. He told Adam and Eve, don't eat from that fruit. Don't eat that from that tree in the garden. They ate the fruit. They didn't do what God told them to do. They hid from the presence of God. They hid and they had to leave. They got kicked out of the garden. God told Cain to deal with his attitude, to deal with his sin. He didn't listen. He went and murdered his brother, and he left the presence of God. Jonah didn't do what God told him to do, and he left the presence of God. Are you seeing this? Come on, listen. Okay, here's what it really comes down to. Obedience. But I know some of us, we're a little like, we don't always like that word obedience, okay? So let me just say it to you another way. It really comes down to simply doing what God says. If you don't do what God tells you to do, you're making the choice to leave his presence, okay? Here's an example. A year ago, last February, we did that series called The Blessed Life. Let's just say a year ago when we did that series, let's say God spoke to you and told you to begin tithing, but then you didn't do it. Or let's say you did do it for a little while, but then you stopped. Okay, are you really living in his presence then? You're really not. Okay, if he spoke to you and told you to do something. Okay, listen, it's like this. God says, I'm going in this direction. I want you to go with me. Let's go do this together, but then you don't go with him. Are you seeing this? You leave the presence of God. What if God spoke to you about ending a relationship that you're not supposed to be in? A relationship that God doesn't want you to be in, but you're not doing it. You're leaving the presence of God. Are you following me? When God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you begin leaving his presence. So here's really what I'm talking about. I'm going to use that word. This is willful disobedience. Okay, in fact, I shared this last week. God cannot dwell in the midst of your willful disobedience, okay? There isn't room for his presence, for his blessings in your life when you continue to be the God of your own life rather than letting him. When you continue to do what you want rather than doing what he wants you to do. Okay, let me just be clear though. I'm not talking about making a mistake. You with me? I'm not talking about just messing up every once in a while, okay? We are all sinners. We're all gonna fail from time to time. How many of you have ever sinned unintentionally? Everybody just look right here. Have you ever sinned unintentionally? Right? Where let's say you're in the moment, let's say something happens and you react in less than a positive way, or you name it, right? And then maybe a few minutes later, or maybe even a while later, all of a sudden you realize, you're like, oh boy, that was not good. I should not have done things that way, right? You've done that before, right? Okay, so listen, I really want us to get this, church. So here's another way to put it, okay. I am an extremely lucky dude to be married to my beautiful wife, Rachel. Okay, we have been blessed with an amazing marriage, an amazing relationship. That doesn't mean every day is perfect, right? Here's what I've been discovering ever since I got married. Apparently, I can be annoying from time to time. I know, I'm just as shocked as you are, right? But here's the beautiful part about Rachel. She is the most innocent person you have ever met. I'm not kidding. She is just so sweet, so genuine. And so there was a time, this is a couple years ago, but where apparently I was being annoying. But rather than start a fight, rather than yell at me, I looked at her and I could tell that she was frustrated with me. But this is how sweet she is. She looked at me, she goes, "I just cussed at you in my mind." You know you've done it. We're not passing any judgment this morning. Okay, so look, listen. I love Rachel so much. I love her. I don't want to annoy her. Listen to me. I don't want to hurt her, right? So here's the truth. When she tells me to do something or not do something, honestly, I try my best to listen. Okay, because watch this. Because living in her presence is more important to me. You see that? Come on. You can be in the same room with someone, you know this, and not be experiencing the joy of their presence, right? I want to experience her presence. Are you hearing me on this stuff? Okay, so listen, you can come to church. You can read your Bible. You can even pray and not be fully experiencing the presence of God. Okay, but church, I'm telling you, God is giving an invitation. He's saying he's going to pour out such a cloud. He's inviting you and me. He's saying, I want to pour out my presence into your life in new and exceeding and even surprising ways. So here's my third point, making room for his presence. Making room for his presence. You could also call it entering the presence of God, but I don't want to just focus on just entering. I want to focus on entering and remaining and making more and more room for God to do what he wants, for God to pour out himself into your life. Okay, now listen, we've already kind of alluded to the fact that worship helps you enter the presence of God. But today I want to focus in here. I want to read from the book of James, okay? James chapter 4, if you're there. And let me just tell you a little bit about who James is, okay? James is Jesus's little brother, okay? Mary was his mother too, except Joseph was his father, whereas Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, okay? But this is Jesus's little brother, and little brother James, listen, he tells us so clearly how we can enter and also make room for the presence of God. In fact, in James chapter 4, there's kind of a famous verse. Some of you will know it. He writes, "Come close to God and God will," come on, "come close to you." That's right. Okay, but that begs the question, how do you come close to God? How do you enter his presence? How do you make room for him? Okay, James tells us. Now, before we start reading, let me just give you a little heads up. Some of you may not like the way little brother James talks to us at first. I'm going to just try and set you up and get you ready. Some of you may be a little too weak sauce for the way James talks to us, okay? Here's what I'm saying. James doesn't mess around. James tells it like it is. He isn't here to be politically or culturally correct. He is not here to coddle your feelings. James is here to preach hot fire. You with me? You got yourself kind of ready? All right, now listen. I mean, he says, "Come close to God and God will come close to you," okay? That sounds perfectly fine. Nothing too strong there. But let's look together at that verse in context and see how we really enter and make room for the presence of God. I'm gonna read James 4, verses 6 through 10, okay? He's gonna start off gently in verse 6 and work into it, all right? He writes this. He says, "And he," that's God, "gives grace generously." Well, that's good to hear, isn't it? That's awesome. "As the scriptures say," and so now he's going to quote from the book of Proverbs here, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to The humble. Okay, just you got to catch this. Humble people receive grace, right? You seeing this? Okay, so here's what James says. So humble yourselves before God. He advises us to humble ourselves so that we can, in fact, receive grace. Okay, here he goes on. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's good to know. And here it is, verse 8, that famous verse. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Okay, but how do we do that? James is about to tell us. Hang on. He says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided. And that's the problem right there, church. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. You want to be in his presence. You want to experience his blessings in your life. You want all the goodness that comes with it. And God says you can have it, but you just got to just do things my way. Do things with me. But no, we'd rather be loyal to ourselves. We'd rather be loyal to the things that we want or to the things of this world. That's the problem. Here's the solution, though. Here's how you enter the presence of God and make room for him. Verse 9, James says, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. In other words, and he's going to say it again, watch, verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And here's when you enter. And he will lift you up. He'll lift you up in his arms so high. He'll lift you up and he'll swing you around. He'll make you laugh. He'll look into your eyes. He'll draw you close. He'll tell you how much he loves you. He'll wrap you up in his presence. He'll say, I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to let go of you. He will hold you up for the world to see and say, this is my son or this is my daughter. Come on, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. I asked a minute ago, how many of you don't want to miss out on the presence of God in your life? That's how you don't miss out. Humility is how you enter, and it's how you make room for the presence of God. You say, you're God, and I'm not. You say, I'm going to do things. You are in charge, not me. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Listen, sometimes people think this from time to time. You get some Christians that every once in a while, they'll think that God has abandoned them. They'll say, I used to be able to hear his voice so clear and I just can't hear his voice anymore. I used to feel like his presence was so close and I don't feel his presence that close anymore. Listen, I think this is the truth. I think that we know that we know that we know that we know when we made that decision that God didn't want us to make, and that's when the closeness in his voice disappeared. I think we know when we've left. Because God says, I will never leave you nor abandon you. I will never forsake you. It's that we leave God, and here's how, when we don't do what he tells us to do. And my friends, that's called sin. So James tells us how to deal with it. James, this is really a call to repentance. James calls us to repent. James calls us to humility. James doesn't mess around. He deals with our problem head on. And he tells us, listen, here's the beautiful part. He tells us how we can leave sin. How we can leave sin, not leave the presence, how we can leave sin and then enter the presence of God and remain in the presence of God and make more room for the presence of God. We've got to humble ourselves. He says, let there be tears for what you have done, for the way you've left, for the willful sin, for refusing to listen to God's voice, for not doing things his way, or for even just trying to ignore him when he's telling you to do something. He says, let there be sorrow and deep grief. Have you ever grieved over your sin? I mean, have you ever grieved over your sin? I'm not just talking about getting embarrassed over it or getting frustrated. Have you ever been humbled by it? Have you ever taken personal responsibility that, listen, it's not just sin in general, that, but it's that your sin put Jesus on that cross? This is going to be strong, but I really believe this. Every believer, every person who says they follow Jesus or loves Jesus has to get to that point at some point. If you never really take responsibility, if you never truly mourn over your condition, then listen, it's going to make the cross and what Jesus did just a trivial thing in your mind. Or you're going to start to develop an entitlement mentality that you're somehow entitled to what Jesus did for you. Listen, no, you are not. I've been very open about my past and what I'm going to say, these things, this isn't to judge anyone, but I have laid on the floor and sobbed because of my sin, because of the things I've done to people, the thoughts that I've thought, because of the things that I have looked at and given my eyes to. I have sobbed. I have told the Lord, I am so sorry. Listen, when I really stop and think about it, it grieves me that I need accountability in my life just to remain faithful to God. That's the condition I'm in. That's who I am, church. I am a sinner. Have you ever let your sin distress you? Have you ever grieved over your sin? Have you ever, through tears, told the Lord you're sorry for what you've done, for those things that the ways that you've hurt people, for those thoughts, for the condition you're in? Have you ever gone before him in prayer without any excuse, without trying to cover up, without showing up before him and say, yeah, but I did this because of this, or without trying to play the victim card? Have you ever just gone before him and deeply told him you are sorry? Have you ever told him sorry for those times, or maybe even that big time or those big times where he was telling you to do something and you refused to do what he told you to do? Or you just went on with life as usual. You ignored what he was saying. Listen, so Church James says, humble yourself before the Lord. He says, draw close to the Lord. That's how you do it. Humility. Watch, come on. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. He says, humble yourself, and God will lift you up in honor. You have any idea what it's like to live in a state of being held up by God where the God of the universe is honoring you? Is it possible for you to live in that place every day? It is. Humility is the key. Doing what God wants you to do. Listen to me. God is saying he loves you so much. He's saying right now he wants to be with you. God is saying he loves you so much, he wants to pour out his presence in new and exceeding and even surprising ways. He says he's going to pour out such a cloud. He loves you. Listen, I don't care what your background or your past is like, or what has been like before this moment right here. God is saying he wants to lift you up in honor. He wants to carry you. Next Sunday, listen to me, next Sunday, we're going to talk about everything about what that's like when you get to live in that place, in that presence where God is carrying you, where he is with you, what really happens in life when you're in that place, okay? It's possible. Do not miss next week, okay? But I'll ask again right now, who doesn't want to miss out on the presence of God in their lives? Come on, who doesn't want it, right? A prophetic word is often an invitation from God. You have a choice. Will you enter? Will you make room for more of his presence? How will you do that? I shared this last week, but here's one very practical way to help all of us do that, okay? Beginning next Sunday, I'm inviting everyone who calls the gathering home, everybody, I'm inviting you to join us, listen to me, as we humble ourselves and fast together, okay? I want you, starting next week, I'm inviting you, I want you to fast something for at least a week, okay? I'm not putting a time cap on it, though. I'm going to go longer than a week, all right? But I want you to put, here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to God. Here's your first step for today. I want you to begin talking to God today, if you haven't already, about what it is he would have you fast, for how long, and then between now and next Sunday, I want you to commit to do it. Watch this. To commit to do what God tells you to do. You want to enter in? Come on, what if we humble ourselves? Fasting in the Bible was it was oftentimes a sign of mourning, but always a sign of humility. So what if you join with us and we humble ourselves together and we do what God tells us to do? All right, here's your other step for today. What's that thing that keeps interfering? What's that thing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know is taking up the room, is crowding out the space in your life for the presence of God? Okay, here's what I want you to do today. Acknowledge it to him. And again, here's the opportunity. We get to ask him, God, what do you want me to do about it? And maybe he's been talking to you about this for years. God's got grace for the humble. It's not too late to be humble, is it? Come on, we got time to be humble by the grace of God, don't we? Right here and right now, but he's given the invitation. What if we humble ourselves and we say, yes, Lord? And I'm telling you, by acknowledging this thing to God that's interfering, that's taking up the space, and by then doing what he says, you're entering in and you're making room. Are you seeing this? I got to know, are you seeing this? Come on, we got to make room for the presence of God in our lives. And I'm telling you, hang on. God is miraculous. God is, from where we stand here on this, God is supernatural. So many of us need a miracle or we need the supernatural in our lives. God, by definition, is supernatural. If we make room for him in our lives, how could he not then do the supernatural things that we need? Are you seeing this? Come on, let's make room for the presence of God, church, family. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Hey, I know this has been strong, but we're not here just to play church, are we? Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? How do you need to make room? What's been taking up space? What's that secret sin or that thing that you've been afraid to confess or afraid to even acknowledge to God? He already knows. Listen, I want you to hear this. He's not here to punish you. He's giving you an invitation. He's really asking, will you give me the room to bless you? Will you give me the room to heal you and love you? Will you give me the room to hold you up in honor? He is that perfect dad. That's who he is. He wants to wrap you up. He wants to look you in the eyes and tell you he loves you. He wants to make you laugh. He wants to put a smile on your face. He wants to fill your heart with joy. What if right now, as it's still the beginning of the year where we have the opportunity to give God the beginning of our year, what if we take steps today and we say, God, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to make room. God, I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. Lord, I pray you would speak to your people today. And hey, maybe you don't know that you know that you know right now what's taking up space. What if you take time this week? I'm telling you, this is take time to listen to him. If you truly seek him, he is not going to hold you at arm's length. He will say, yes, come on, let's draw closer. He will reveal to you your next steps. But let's take the next step and commit together to fast. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you there? Let's commit together. And God, we make room for you. Forgive us for those things that we have allowed to interfere. Forgive us for the ways that we have said no. Thank you that you are gracious and willing and always ready to forgive. Thank you that by your grace we got time and you're here right now giving us an invitation. We humble ourselves. We say, Jesus, we are sorry and we need you. We're the ones that need you. Have your way in our lives. Lord, have your way through our lives. Lord, use us, pour out your blessings. I pray you'd bless your people and may we not be able to contain them and may we dare not hold on to them. Lord, pour them out in us and through us, Lord. Let this city be reborn. Draw a whole town to yourself. We're in anticipation of what you want to do. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Thank you that you are inviting us. Thank you that you're pouring out a cloud. Thank you, Lord, that there's a church making room for your presence. We say, come and have your way together. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. And my whole church family said, amen. Hey, I know it's strong. Can we give God some thanks, though, for what he's saying to us today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.